Hello and welcome everyone to the TAMS Percussion Podcast. Don't forget to support us on Anchor and Spotify. For any questions or comments, please email us at tamspercussion@gmail.com or on Instagram at tamsperkpodcast.
Hey there, I'm Michael DeLeese and I'm joined today with Sky Fajardo. How are you doing today, Sky?
I'm doing just fine. You know, it's kind of late, but I got coffee that's definitely pushing me through the day. So, A-okay.
Very good. Coffee's always the best thing about the morning or the night. I love coffee. Trying to get into it. How you doing, Sulin?
Great. How are you, though?
I'm doing all right. Just started up college again. Wednesday was my first day of grad school, which is exciting and kind of terrifying at the same time. But, you know, it's cool. Lessons start next week, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, boy, lessons.
Actually, for me, my first day is... Yeah, we're starting school tomorrow, and I'm going to be a junior, and our lessons actually start this week, so I definitely have to prepare for that. But for today's podcast, right, guys, we're going to be talking about music school life hacks and burnout. So let's get right into it.
One of the first things that we wanted to talk about is, or to mention, is to really consider kind of your travel and logistics when it comes to kind of your daily routine and kind of just making your overall weekly plan. Michael, any tips on that?
When you're really trying to budget your travel and your logistics, make sure you know exactly what you're supposed to bring with you wherever you're going. Let's say you're going across the country to a brand new school, who knows where. You got to make sure you pack all the essentials you need, not just for living your life out of a suitcase, but for also bringing all of your equipment you need. For example, I have all my recording stuff here in my apartment and all that stuff like that. And I also have, you know, a couple extra things here and there. Multiple stick bags are really good for traveling, especially. And if you use a multiple stick bag approach, you can put your extra stuff in the larger bags. And if you keep like a travel bag on, you don't have to worry about bringing like 3 bags to every day at school, you know? Sue, you know anything else about that?
Well, for me, especially when it comes to... Well, recently we just had audition placements, and so rather than taking my like big bulky mallet bag, so I know like specifically what mallets I'm going to be using, so I'll just have another like kind of spare smaller stick bag that I take around with me, and those specific mallets, like I said, that I'm going to use on like my audition, so like Becker Blues or something like that, like my Dragonfly mallets, I'm going to put them in my bag, and then so it's like easier to like just take them out, you know, rather than like just lugging this, I don't know, giant heavy bigger mallet bag, I think. And the same goes for like concerts and like recitals or like whatever, so just so you have everything in like that one area. Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. I know. Do you all mark your own sticks or anything? Do you mark stuff that's yours or like your stick bag? Do you have anything that's like identifying that's yours specifically?
Mostly with Sharpie. I would just put like my initials and especially black towels because I'm not saying anything. But sometimes I feel like they disappear on you and I don't know who it is. I'm not blaming anybody. But you know, they disappear on you.
I'm so glad that's not just my place. That's a universal thing. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's
a thing.
I keep
all my towels in a Xfinity jawstring bag, and I make sure that I get every single towel that I lend out.
Yeah.
In terms of like marking my stuff, I use blue electric tape and kind of just like put it like right under. If it's like sticks, I put it right under the bead. If it's mallets, I put it right under the mallet head, and sometimes I put like some other colors, or maybe I do gold because I'm bougie like that.
Oh my god, so extra.
And kind of coming back to the multi-stick bag approach, when I'm going like from place to place, I typically have like I have my main backpack, which has all my bag, the paper, writing utensils, everything, and then I have a separate bag for all my electronics, mainly my laptop and my tablet. So that's 2 bags already, and if that's already heavy enough. So I actually have multiple stick bags for each of my main ensembles. So I have my concert band bag, smart. And then I have my jazz band bag, which is smaller, just sticks, vibraphone mallets, and some hand stuff,
maybe some
shakers and all that.
That's a really smart idea.
Yeah.
And then I have my main storage bag that stays in storage. So,
Wow. I
yeah.
just don't have that many bags, but I would totally do that. So, for all of you guys watching or listening in, try it out.
Yeah, it's good to have multiple bags. Like, I know I keep at least three with me. Not at all times, but like, usually I have three main bags.
Yeah.
I use like a Galaxy tube, then I have like one of the Galaxy wide bags, and then I use the Mallet King just for my bulk storage.
I love my Galaxy bag.
I don't know if it's
Yeah.
like about like you guys, but like it's not for like the younger people. It's not you buy three stick bags going into
Right. No,
college. It's like you dig
no.
out of your old stick bag that you got in elementary school. I'm like, oh, sew it up, throw some stuff in there, keep that to the side
Yes.
for when I'm walking halfway across campus. Like
Right.
you collect these things.
Yeah, they're also good to ask for holidays or birthdays too. Like, oh man, I would love some mallets, but I know my relative doesn't know anything about percussion, or most of the time. So they're gonna be like, if I buy ask them to do something, they might give me the wrong thing. So like, why not just ask them to get me a bag or something, you know?
Right. Oh,
Or
my birthday's coming up October
yep.
20th. So if you guys want to buy me a bag,
Does mean we need to
that's
start a Patreon?
awesome.
Let's
Yes,
put our
please.
Amazon wish list, our Steve
Patreon
Weiss
buys
wish
two of
list in
them.
chat.
You can put some mallets in there too. Like, I don't mind if you already put some mallets in there. That's great.
I'll make sure we put as many birch vibraphone mallets as we can.
Yes,
Oh,
yes.
all the birch
God.
vibes.
All the shaker eggs and
Oh
fruit
my
are on
goodness.
my list. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah,
Yeah.
cool. So, little recap. Make sure you're not going to go ahead and buy three bags right now. And if you're starting out new in percussion, don't do that. But
Right.
make sure you organize your stuff and make sure you know what stuff is yours. Another thing that's really important to keep on my stick bag is my name and phone number. In case I misplace it, have someone could just find this bag and call my cell phone and be like, "Hey, your bag's over here. You left it in like the wind ensemble room or whatever, you know?"
Right. Yeah.
Make sure you know where your stuff is and how you're tracking it.
Right.
Kind of
And
on the
just,
topic
oh, Sky, you go, you go.
of stuff, what are like some essential things, music school or percussionist that you just gotta have?
For
Good
me,
question.
I like to make sure, well, the most important thing you have to use that keep on you all the times, I use it every day, is a pencil.
Yes,
You need
you
pencils.
need
Like
that.
there that's not question. If you don't have pencil to rehearsal, you're just done for, okay? You need to keep those on you. I also like to make sure I keep a couple towels in my stick bag too. Couple black towels. Like I use the little ones for my stick bag because it's easily portable, but it's also good to get the really big ones so you can have something thick. Because black towels are your best friend in the percussion world. Anyone
And
else want to attest to that?
you can always count on one, your friends not having towels, two, your friends or your towels just mysteriously disappearing, unbeknownst to who might have taken it or lost it. But
Towel for the
just saying,
towel
just saying.
though.
All right. Yeah, I have two actually. Like two ones that I like. Two things that I think are so important for like us percussionists especially is well, I guess this is not necessarily like in object, it's to do setup charts, because like that's so important, especially like, so for me, we have concert band and symphony band, and both bands are like super like crazy. We need like eight instruments for some reason for one person, and just having like literally just drawing out your setup like on a sheet of paper, I think that's like so important to do, and to just have like a picture of it, because like you can like work it out with like your other like the other people in the ensemble, and just like so like this is where I place my tom-toms, and then this is where I place my cymbal, just so you know every single time, and you don't have to like rearrange or change anything around, and I think it's really good. And just kind of like just to add on something that I do when I first like see a piece, so obviously I'll look at like the gear list, which is also super important to know, obviously what instruments you have to play for the piece. If there's some kind of video on YouTube that I can watch and like check out somebody else's setup, then I'll be like, oh yeah, that's cool. And then maybe I'll just draw something down like on a piece of paper, kind of copying their idea first and then kind of seeing it for myself. So that's super important. And yes, have and make setup charts. And
Yeah.
then,
Oh, sorry.
oh, you're fine. Yeah, and then the other thing I was gonna say, for me, this is one of my essentials personally. It's expensive, but I don't know if you guys are like at school or something like that, you can definitely borrow one. So I always carry my iPad and then my iPad pencil with me. And I'm really fortunate because Michigan gives funding for us. So like I was able to purchase it through that. Yeah, so I got an iPad for myself for music specifically, and also like an iPad pedal. And it's one of like the best purchases I've ever made because like I like to draw on it as well. But besides that, I use Fourscore and I literally use it every single day. So rather than just like taping up a bunch of paper, it's just like I have like one sheet in quotes like of paper, and then I can just use my pedal and whatever, right? And I have my Apple Pencil just to use that, but it's just very convenient and it's really nice. So you can always like take a picture of it and like you never lose your music because it's like saved onto your iPad, and it's very helpful and very useful, especially when you have so much music, it's all in one area. So I think it's a great investment. I use it every single day for basically everything. But of course, I love like the traditional paper because I feel like, I know this sounds cheesy, I feel like the music speaks to me more wholesomely, I guess. I know it sounds kind of silly, but
You can feel
yeah.
the emotion in the coffee stains on those rented orchestra parts.
I can feel the ink reaching out
Yes.
on us,
Oh my
reaching to
God,
the
you
soul.
guys get it.
Nice
Yeah.
coffee stains, man.
All right, yeah. Those
But
were
like,
like my two.
one thing I liked what you're saying about building those setup charts is really important. One thing we didn't really mention on that I like to do is make sure you cross-reference with your other people in your section.
Yes.
We're doing stuff like sometimes you might have to do like a shared instrument. Like, so let's say you need a
Yeah.
piece that's like, you have a four tom part and someone else is like a four tom part or something, and it's the same ones. Make sure you
Right.
build your setups like next to each other and like be considerate of your fellow section mates, please. Like, no
Yeah.
one wants to hire a jerk, so
If you're
please
just
be
going like,
considerate.
if you're like a band, I guess not to like harp on like the orchestra percussionist, but
Right.
definitely like in the band world, especially with the more contemporary pieces, there's so much toys and this and weird setups. I think definitely adding where things go and what comes off, what comes on those setup charts is so important. When I've made like some of mine for like my recital, like this goes there, that goes
Yeah.
here, this needs to be moved left to right.
Yeah,
But
and
yeah,
also
what?
make sure you're using the same gear every time too. Like if you're
Right.
using the Pearl toms that you have there, don't go grab the different set that you're not using, right?
Unless the conductor person told you to.
Yeah, that's like a good exception. But like if they
The
like them,
exception,
make
because he's
sure you're
legal.
using your stuff. The yeah, rule of thumb, the orchestra, the conductor's always right.
Right.
Or
Believe it
your
or not.
implied instructor. Listen,
Think
just
my
listen
two,
to people.
yeah, I think my 2 cents, or like my three main items to have, just like to have always, is some kind of string. I always have nylon paracord, just a few different kinds, because as percussionists, we're very creative people, and there's so many things you can solve with string, like triangle beaters,
Yes.
or no, triangle holders. If your snare wires break for some reason, just a myriad of so many things that you can do with string, because who doesn't love string?
Sky, good.
Quick question for you, Sky. What's your preferred string for triangle holders?
Now you gotta, now you're really putting me on the spot. I feel like Neil Grover's gonna, he's gonna have opinions. I, like I said, I stick to my nylon, like just nylon cord that I found at like a craft store. Knot it, melt the ends, and if there's space in my triangle holder, put two.
Yeah, I think you should always put two loops, especially when you're
Yes.
doing that kind of thing, 'cause like, and you always put your triangle on the upper loop, So like in case this loop snaps, you have that backup loop to like catch a triangle, you know?
Dang, I didn't even think of all this stuff. See, I'm like learning from this podcast too.
There you go. I
Yeah,
also like to use
awesome.
my professor was also really big into using fishing wire. Like
Yeah.
you go to the tackle store and go grab a big thing of fishing wire, you're set for life.
Some people are kind of like swear by like the plastic luggage tag ones, but that are, I can't remember if it was like Alan Abel or Neil Grover. They have like the ball tags, so there's less contact with the triangle. But there's some pedagogy, but I'm not gonna get into that. Yeah, I think my next item is binder clips, which is kind of the same thing as string. Like you can get really creative with what you use binder clips for, clipping your towels on, dampening devices. I think at one point I found like a large binder clip and used it to hold my pencil because it kept rolling off my stand. So I put it in there and kind of just slid it in between the little loopy loops. But it's one of those get creative items that like you just gotta have, or holding up your rehearsal snacks. And then the last one is just like Band-Aids, first aids. I remember being in the middle of a concert and I was playing timpani or something. I don't even know what I touched. I got a splinter and I'm like, this can't be happening. Reached down, Band-Aid it up. I'm like, okay, we're gonna play Burton timpani on the right hand.
Oh my
My
gosh.
God, really?
That's what I would have had to do if I didn't have things.
Man, I'm really like lately my blister's been breaking open a lot more. I keep
Yeesh.
my Band-Aids for my blisters, especially like a
Yeah.
couple days. Like some days I'll go in the practice room and I can't even like hold 4 mallets because
And
my
you just
blisters just
grind
hurt so
too
much.
hard. Yeah. And
Yeah.
you grind too hard. Have you
Yeah,
guys?
right. On the grind.
Yeah. All right. This is a weird question. Have you guys ever gotten a splinter from a xylophone? Or is
Yes.
that just me?
Yes.
Like the keys?
Yeah. Like, because it. Say yes.
It's always that high A that everyone plays Porgy and Bess on.
I haven't, but I know a lot of people who have. Actually, no, I got not xylophones. I got it from like the LP fiberglass claves that are just like so
Oh,
loud, but like
interesting.
I get them more from like the old vintage frames of things than I do the keys.
Yeah, like I got really bad from marching xylophone in my high school.
Oh,
I touched
yeah.
those once, that hurt a lot. And then they're all like, "Don't touch the bar, Michael." I'm like, "What, this bar?"
Oh my God.
Death upon you.
Oh, you know what? I have one more thing to add for essentials.
What you got?
I think it's essential to have a good attitude.
Yeah, there
I
we
mean,
go.
like as cheesy
Really.
as it sounds, I think it's really important, especially like when we talked about setups. Like, I feel like all percussionists are, well, in my humble opinion, maybe I'm biased. Well, I feel like all percussionists are cool because we have to like we're forced to kind of work together. And I mean, at least in my experience, like we're always helping each other out. And so like don't be that one person who like doesn't help out for some weird reason, you know, like
Yeah, like don't be the first one out of the concert hall after
right,
concert.
exactly. Yeah, it's like that's why it's like so important. Just like keep a good attitude, especially when you're like sharing instruments, you know, be courteous, blah blah blah. Basic human decency
Yeah,
to all, yeah.
I think I touched on this a little bit earlier. Like I said, just don't be a jerk.
Right. And we're not talking about those who steal black towels or anything. But
No, never.
anyway.
I don't know any of those people ever. I've never met one.
Yes.
Don't know any.
I don't know. I just happen to find more black towels with people's initials on them I don't recognize sometimes.
Yes.
I'm looking at you, JM.
Oof. All right. Yeah.
Anyway,
Yeah, so
what's on a new topic? Let's talk about practicing because what thing does music students do the most? Than
practice.
practicing.
Looking at least 4 to 6 hours a day is fun.
Yes.
I finally had an epiphany like my junior or senior year. As a Mu-Ed major, I was ridiculously busy all the time, especially in my first couple of years. Like, I think, Sky, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yes.
Always being so busy, you know, like traveling to schools, trying to learn like all the pedagogy things and all that stuff.
Paperwork.
Paperwork, yeah.
Reading and paperwork.
lots of reading, lots of psychology things, but like
Standards, these are
yeah,
standards.
exactly. Oh my gosh. So being like really busy that way, I kind of had an epiphany. I had a recital I needed to prep my junior year, and I'm like, yeah, I need to practice things. And I really got into practicing. So like eventually when you get into practicing very much, you need to start booking more time. Eventually, because like, you'll like unconsciously start practicing sometimes. And that's sometimes like some of the biggest waste of your time in some respects. Have you ever like unconsciously practiced? You know what I'm talking about?
Well, we
I don't
kind of.
know. Kind of, but
There's a lot of
also
different
no.
forms of practice. I do a lot of conga, so of course I'm just gonna be like going crazy on whatever I could get my hands on.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's that kind of thing, but like have you ever just like gotten frustrated at a lick and some or something, just try to take it full tempo until you just nailed it like immediately, like just without any kind of workup? And be honest.
No.
No?
No, that's
I've
never
had
happened
that.
to me.
I think there was a case of, like, I'm just gonna, like, I'd practice something for like an hour and I'm like, okay, I need a break. All right, I have like 1 minute before the building locks up, so I'm just gonna hit this thing with a run because I'm done with this piece.
Yeah.
Bam,
Yeah.
perfect run. I didn't even learn the rest of the piece, but I got through the whole thing. Where did this come from?
The best thing
Great.
is when you're vibing, like you're practicing and you're like feeling it and you're like into the music and you don't want to stop practicing actually, because you're like so into it, you know?
Yeah, I did that one day recently, and I like looked at the clock and I'm like, oh, I've been here for like 4 hours. What the heck? And that was after like already going like another like 4 hours that morning. That was a fun day.
I get that a lot when I'm doing
Wow.
timpani, because I
It
get really
really
into my technique and I'm like, wow, like I'm really feeling this tone. All right, let's move it around.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm
I
more of a
actually
German
feel that
group
with you.
player, but like, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, so like there's definitely different kinds of practicing, which is really good,
Yeah.
you know. But yeah, practicing's fun. Practicing's good, but sometimes practicing can really be a hassle.
And boring.
And
And
boring sometimes,
sure.
depending on what you
Yeah.
do. Make sure you're I've always practiced with a metronome, like at first, when you're trying to learn something, I think. That's
Yeah.
something I've recently adapted. I used to be like, and still kinda am, the worst person about using metronomes.
Me too.
I don't know, we
Same.
just have like a love-hate relationship. Like I just love to hate it.
I always tell my students, like, when I bring out the metronome, or even at the point where I'm like, this is what a metronome is, because I have some pretty young students, like, so the time to bring out the thing that every musician hates but always needs, the metronome.
Yeah, I definitely subdivide when you use a or you do subdivisions when you use a metronome.
You know what's
You're
really
listening for
fun?
life. No.
I like to really
Weird
use
metronome can
Yeah.
configurations.
So the metronome I usually use is tonal energy, and like
Oh,
one
is that the
piece.
one with the, sorry, the
Yeah, that's the
green.
smiley face.
It's the one with the
Yes,
smiley
my
face. It's
best
like that.
friend.
Yeah, but like there's the metronome feature on there. I like using it all the time because you can do a bunch of really cool things with that. You can like program it to do different like time signatures and stuff and patterns. You can also program it to do silent beats, which is really fun to play with. Like you can do percentages of silent beats per thing, so you can really like internalize your pulse
That's
and have it
cool.
externalized. So like if you don't use it, try it out.
My go-to is
Hashtag
Pro
not sponsored.
Metronome, which has a free and a pro version.
Yeah,
Shout out to Pro Metronome, but I just, or I'm not gonna get into that. Yes,
next
Metronome.
time, next time.
Next time.
Metronomes are important. Oh, that's an essential.
Yeah,
I feel like
definitely.
we.
I think that, yeah.
But yeah, sometimes we go too hard when we're practicing. We kind of experience this thing called burnout.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know what burnout is, burnout, according to a psychological journal I found, burnout is a psychological syndrome emerging as a prolonged response to chronic interpersonal stressors on the job. Right?
Yes.
So a
Think.
couple instances. Burnout's just kind of a really big thing. It's something that we definitely experience a lot of in the arts, I think, or anybody who
Yes.
does repetitive tasks this way. Let's face it, music's a repetitive task sometimes, you know?
It is quite
Thing all the time and make
a
sure everything's
stressful
right.
process.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Michael, do you have any? Does anyone, or anybody, or Sky, does anyone have like a burnout story? Because I have one, but you guys share first.
I definitely have one, but Sky, if you have one, you want to go ahead.
You by all means, I'm still
All
thinking
right,
of one.
cool. I'll go first then. So I mentioned this briefly last episode, how I lost both of my recitals due to the virus that's going on right now, the pandemic and all that. After the first one, I really had like no motivation to do it. I was like processing, like, oh, what is this virus? Nobody knew what was going on. It was like 2 weeks into the virus originally. So we're all like, oh, what's going on? What's this thing? Everyone's talking about it like crazy. I don't know what this is. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll get to do my recital. And I hear someone like say, oh, nope, no recitals in person, but you're welcome to take stuff home. So I ended up having to take things home, and I just kind of set it up and stared at it for a while. And I'm like, is this really what I'm gonna do for the next, like, who knows how long? Am I really gonna record a recital project on this stuff? Like, I had a 4 1/3 muster vibra or not vibraphone, marimba, you know, like the standard 4 1/3 muster, no resonators, and a multi setup for Dave Holland's cold press in my basement. I'm just like, do I want to do this? I don't know. It's really weird. It's a really weird time. And then, like, that was my first recital. My second one, so like my one of a family member I live with got COVID the week of my recital. Like, I was prepping it all semester. I was getting pumped. Things were starting to feel comfortable. Like, I had everything almost in my hands, like as enough to like showcase it. And then, like, boop, nope, nope. Family member got COVID. I gotta stay home and quarantine for 2 weeks. I didn't get it somehow, but like, he had
Are they
it.
okay now?
Yeah, they're fine. He's fine.
That's good.
He's all good.
Yeah.
But I ended up losing all motivation to do that. Then I remembered the thing that got my motivation back was, hey, you got grad auditions to do. So I had to relearn the same piece like 3 times because of burnout. Like, it was entirely gone out of my head and my hands. I had to relearn it 3 times. It was horrible. Don't recommend.
Oh man.
So,
But
burnout
now
really messed
you're
up.
healthy and happy and love practicing and are not burned out,
Yeah,
at least
no, like,
currently.
I'm really liking this now. Like, I just finished booking my practice times for school, and I got like 4 to 6 hours a day, and I'm feeling really good about it. And I'm starting to like actually hear progress. That's a huge thing. Like, if you can start hearing your own progress again,
Yeah, that's
that's
the
like
best.
huge. So that's my little burnout story.
Sky, your
By the way,
turn.
yeah,
Yes.
I think it's very important to tell everyone experience burnout in very different ways. And as a young musician or even a young college student, because sometimes you might experience this even at the younger ages, it's under the first time you experience burnout, you might not realize it. So figuring out that out first is very important. The way I experience burnout is just like I can't, like my focus just drops to like 5%, and like I'll play a bar or something and I'll just stop and I'll just stare or walk around the marimba. And there was this one night, I think I was preparing for juries, music juries, and I was like playing a marimba piece. I'd mess up, sigh, play again, and at some point so this very like hour and a half long process, at some point I found myself just laying on the floor and constantly like throwing like my sticks against a wall. And at that point, like I just can't. There's n it, even if I still continue to like practice, I wouldn't be gaining anything. So at that point, it's just like I need to wrap it up, and I need to stop throwing my precious expensive mallets against the floor or the
Yes.
wall.
Yeah, it's really good to know when you need to take a break, like mentally.
I think if
Yeah.
someone was like having like a time lapse camera, it'd just be like here on the floor, here on the floor, here on the wall, then the floor, jump out upside down, do a backflip, dance, now back in the marimba, some shaker, and then like I gotta go.
Okay. My burnout story is quite different from you guys. I mean, obviously we're different people. But I also think that my burnout story, it's just, I think it goes deeper than burnout. So, yeah, I think this also, When I got burned out this time, I didn't want to do music anymore. Or, yeah, I didn't really know what was gonna happen. So, if you're interested in my burnout story, once upon a time, it was like summertime, and I was gonna be a freshman in high school. And I think I was just like, for me, I have really, really high expectations. I'm like, I hope I don't like come off as cocky, but for me, whatever I do, I like put my heart and soul into it. Like I will work very hard, like with practicing. Like I'll practice a very, very long time because like I'm not looking exactly for perfection, but I want it to be as perfect as that like I know that I'm capable of. So I just like have very high expectations, which is good and bad in some ways. But anyway, so what happened was in the beginning of my freshman year, I believe it was like around like the beginning, yeah, like September time or whatever. And I was still in my percussion group in Chicago, 'cause stay there until I graduated. But anyway, we had to like go into like the concerto competition that was run by the CSO or whatever for like a youth concerto competition. If you won, you played with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. So we all had to do that. But that the week of, I also had to go to New York, play at Carnegie Hall, like a high school competition. So that's what I did. So I was there. I had like no time to practice. And of course, it was like other factors. Like I practiced, but I guess my heart wasn't in it. So that was like part of the burnout too. And so, oh my gosh. Sorry, I'm like losing all my thoughts just because it's like this was a time that was like the worst for me, like going into high school for the first time, my grandma was sick, whatever, all that stuff, getting burned out of practicing. I played the Sejourné Movement 2 concerto thing, I believe that's what it was called. So yeah, my freshman year, and
Was
it
that
was
the
hard.
sorry, was that the old was that the old Sejourné 2 or the new Sejourné 2?
The old one, it's like dun da 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 dun da 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 blah blah blah. Do you know that one? Yeah, that one. So I did
Fun.
that one. And there was like a little cut and like I had to play with a pianist. And so anyway, after my fun trip to New York, I played at this concerto competition or like in front of the judges, and I messed up really bad. Like I like basically stopped. I stumbled and like the pianist kept on going and it was like a whole train wreck. But anyway, my teachers found out about it and they were basically like, this is unacceptable and you're an embarrassment to this group.
Oh my
And
God.
it like that was honestly like one of
Wow.
the worst days of my life because when they said that, it's like, wow, I'm just like the worst person ever. Like I'm an embarrassment and I should never play music. Like ever again, and like I was like, maybe I should. And I don't want to like make it all like controversial, whatever. Like, there were some great things about this group, but also at the same time, it was very cutthroat. And so, like, I was like, maybe I should go into like Merit or like CYSO, like Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra instead, because maybe it's not as intense. And it's like, I worked so hard in this like concerto competition, and I messed up. And like, the thing is, when you make a mistake, it shouldn't be that big of a deal, I guess. Or like, people make mistakes, but it was like my teacher was like, yeah, you're an embarrassment. Like, I don't know. That was just like horrible. And so that kind of for a while I was like not practicing because I was like, I practice so hard every day. Like, I don't get. And also, like, even with the group, I wasn't getting like xylophone one and marimba one. This could be like a whole topic, but like, because like that was what was considered like if you're a good player, you get those parts. I was getting like vibes, but like, all parts are important, but not really necessarily in this group. So I wasn't getting as, in quotes, good of parts anymore. So I was like, there's like no point of me like practicing. They're gonna kick me out. of this group. Like, I don't know what to do. And then that's kind of when I realized, and then like my band teacher really helped me with this too, just kind of like, I don't need this group, or I don't need my teachers telling me that I'm a good musician. At the end of the day, I have to come back to myself and be like, no, you are good. And so I worked my butt off. I applied to like 10 different music schools, like all got in, whatever. Senior year. So like throughout my whole high school like career, I was like, you know what? My teacher says I'm an embarrassment. Like, let me prove him wrong. I'm not an embarrassment. And like I've just been like working hard ever since. And of course, it still hurts me. And but in a way, I think obviously like it made me stronger. Like I was definitely burned out, but now every single time I get a little bit burned out now, I'm like, no, don't be burned out. And then I'm like, and then I motivate myself. I don't know how I do it, but I'm like, no, you can do this again. Like, just like I try to like go into competitions or something, like scholarships or whatever, anything to like make me work for something. And I guess in a way it's kind of bad too, because it's like just because like you didn't do well in a concerto competition, or just because you don't like place in a competition, it doesn't make you like any less of a musician. But in a way, I feel like I kind of do that. So I'm like, well, like to prove my teacher wrong. And now I don't know. I feel like that's all I want, like is like a little bit of validation, which is yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry, that was long. I don't even know if it had to do with, I mean, it did have to do with burnout, but that's
No,
my story.
that's wonderful. Like that's a really bad thing that happened, but you handled it in a really good way, and
So
very proud of
like,
you for that.
thank
That's
you.
awesome.
I hope it doesn't like happen to people, but like, yeah, just because one person tells you that you can't do it, like, who cares? Just do better.
You just gotta make sure you have your support system too. Like
Exactly.
every single artist on the planet definitely has one person that absolutely despises their work.
Yeah, exactly. But
You
there are
could
a
have
lot of
nine,
people who,
you could have like 9 million fans out around the world or something, but if you have one person who hates your stuff, you're gonna think about that one person who hates your stuff more than anything. So you really can't like keep sabotaging yourself that way. You have to
And
know how
like,
far you've come. And I think you really handle that situation well nowadays. At least it sounds like you have. I mean, I'm not you, so I don't know.
yes. No, everybody is like definitely more like I've put that like behind me. Sometimes I still think about it, but if anything, just makes me work harder. And yes.
Yeah, I remember when I was in high school, like there'll always be everyone. I feel like everyone has that one thing that someone said about you that will always sting and will always stay with you. But that it's because that one thing will always, kind of nudge you forward. And I remember one time in high school, we didn't have like the strongest like percussion culture, if you will. Like it was kind of just learn your band part, do some marching band kind of dealio, and like I wanted to be like up there, Chicago Symphony Orchestra, Third Coast Percussion, trying to do everything in percussion. And like there was one time I think I was adjusting the Glock, like a glockenspiel height adjustment, and it was like really squeaky. And at some point my band director went up to like, Al, you are high maintenance. And I'm like,
What?
I'm just trying to height adjust. Like, I don't know. I love
Mean,
her. My
was
band
she
director is
kidding?
wonderful, but like, I don't know. But it was just the fact that I was like trying to make everything right to myself, but because I wanted things to be my way. But
Oh my
I'm sure
God,
she didn't
that's
mean it
so
that
dumb.
bad. I love her. She is a huge inspiration. But like,
Might just be
I'm
trying to
not
crack
high
a joke. I
maintenance.
don't
I'm
know.
just aiming. I'm
That's not
just
even
trying
like you're
to
just
aim
trying
higher.
to. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
But like
God.
everyone has that one
Exactly.
thing that stings.
Everybody should hire their, wait, oh, not hire, raise their expectations to be good. I mean, and that shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. Also,
So.
along that line, you can raise your expectations all you want as long as you celebrate your actual successes too. Like, don't be overly critical about something that happened, right? Like, let's say you had a really good recital or you had something that was like super duper good in your recital, don't be like, oh man, this recital sucked because I missed this one part in this one piece. Don't be afraid
Exactly.
to validate your own, like, hey, I did really good on, I don't know, con variations. My kudos to you, but still.
Yeah,
like, oh,
exactly.
like you did good on this. Validate yourself. But like you
Yeah.
can also see your other thing as like a way to improve, but like don't take the whole performance from one thing.
Yeah. So I have a question for you guys. Like, do you have any remedies for how you treat your personal burnout or in general?
Well, first, I would just say as any, if, one, if you're a music student or like a college, if you're in a music degree, you need to have a hobby that's not music, because you will get sick of music at your time as a music student.
Seriously, you gotta have some
That's
fun.
very important. I think my main thing is just my personal burnout thing, because like I explained earlier, like everyone experiences it differently. Mine is a loss of focus. So I have like, I don't know, healthy distractions kind of like that surround my practice environment, or having a good practice environment. Like, oh, I'm tired of playing this. Okay, let me turn around, organize my files or something. But just something that draws me away from my music for like 30 seconds, but I'm still being productive, so I'm not losing the like constructive mindset. And I also just like, if one, take a moment to breathe. I like stretching and walking. I just give a good stretch and all right, back into the ring, kind of. But yeah, those are the main things that come to mind for me.
Yeah.
Sick.
Good.
Michael?
Some of the things I like to do is I like to focus on anything different. Like, kind of like what Sky said too. I'm like, I like to do something different. Like, let's say I'm repping marimba stuff for a while and I'm really getting sick of this one part on this one piece. I want to do something else for a second. Like, I don't know, I'll go play snare drum for a little bit. Something in my mind off the thing in the moment. As long as you go back to it, you are more than welcome to take breaks from things. As long as you
Yeah.
don't ditch the project entirely, you know?
Just your permutations.
Yeah, or even something
Yes.
you can nail. Yeah, permutations. Or like something you really like almost meditate on, you know? And then I don't know if you
Really.
don't actually meditate at all. I don't, but it seems like something that neat to actually get into, like some sort of meditation.
Right.
And not just
Yeah.
take
Come back to
pieces,
that.
snare pieces.
I have something for that.
But yeah, I
Yeah.
also like to go outside sometimes, touch grass.
Oh,
Kind
that's kind of
of
weird, but that's fine. Are you a cow? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
that,
No
come on.
hate.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
I'm
Did I go
only
too
220,
far?
dude. Come on.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No. Have you not heard that expression, touch grass?
No, because I feel like most people are normal, Michael.
I think most practice rooms
No
feel like a
shade.
prison, so
yeah,
Yeah.
it's a good thing,
Oh my
yeah.
gosh.
No light, all
Sky,
concrete
it's more of a
walls.
gaming
I
thing.
have something to add on to that though. So for me, like especially for my treatments for burnout, I feel like, when practicing becomes a chore, that shouldn't happen, because as musicians, practicing, we should make it fun, So try to for me, I play stick control with some sick beats on my Spotify. Oh my God, sorry. Spotify. Hello?
Spotify. Hi.
Yes, Spotify playlist called Chops for Days, so I can get my chops up. And I have to reassess. I'm like, why am I burned out? Like, it's because I've been doing some boring Cerrone. No offense. Cerrone is
Standard.
great.
It was a standard throne.
I'm more into rudimental stuff. But anyway, yeah, I just like I reassess. I'm like, no, this is practicing should be fun. So I'm gonna sing along to these tunes, do some paradiddles, and it's gonna be great. And then I also like watch inspirational videos, hang around my cool percussion friends who inspire me, like you guys and like everybody else, and like yeah, and I'm like, I wanna be like them. They're so cool and they're so passionate, and I wanna vibe with that energy. So yeah, that's what keeps me motivated.
Yeah,
The end.
I remember
The end.
working on Kaleidoscopia by Gene Kaczynski.
Yes.
And there's like this, there's this kind of this middle Latin section. And like, I can't get the timing or the time or the groove good. I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing here? And my applied teacher, Dr. Mm-hmm. James Yankis, really great guy, really great teacher. Like he sat down with me, I'd play the section and he'd jam along with djembe at like half tempo. And like, this is fun. I'm starting to get like, it was grooving. It was grooving. Mm-hmm. And that just, once you're grooving, it solves the issue.
Yeah. Kind of a similar thing when I was doing side by side, that multi-percussion solo.
Oh yeah.
sometimes it's a matter of reassessing things. There's like a section in there, it's like a 4/3 polyrhythm that changes accent patterns. Like sometimes you like overlook simple things like that. Like I was like, oh, this is like a 5/4. How am I gonna do that? It's like, I'm like, I was looking at it wrong. It's like, no, it's a 4/3. You know?
Yeah.
So reassessing, sometimes just reading back through your own stuff can help you fix things. Like I'm so bad about like skimming something and then assuming it's right. And not actually go back. That's a little off topic, I think, but you know, helpful.
Nah, this is all great.
I think another like general tip is to kind of going into a practice room going into a practice room at any time for any reason, you should have an agenda and like a checklist.
Yeah.
And small objectives always. They're small goals. Because you're more like, especially if you're burnt out, you're more likely to feel more satisfied and feel less burnt out to be like, yeah, I checked off the one thing that was just like 4 measure phrase. Got it. And then like at some point, one of them is like, get 64 measures.
Yeah.
Checklist. Really good.
One thing my roommates really showed me, I'm learning a lot of practice techniques from him. I think you can hear me somewhat. If you can hear me, Shane, I appreciate you. But like one thing he's really told me a lot about is like first thing you do, you take a baseline recording of wherever you're at in the piece. Like, you know, I'm gonna challenge y'all to like tomorrow, whenever you can, if you can practice tomorrow, record something that you're fairly comfortable with.
Oh yeah, recording is good.
First step, record something you're fairly comfortable with. And then don't do anything else in that piece for the rest of the day.
OMG.
Right? Okay. Just do like a recording you're comfortable with, anything. Then go home that night, get some sticky notes, and listen to your recording. And like every time you hear something, write it on the sticky note, put it on your music, where it happened. You know?
That's a good one.
And you can, when you learn things, you can start taking sticky notes off, or you can like, do stuff like when I was doing Druckmann Reflections of the Nature of Water. That's like my big project right now.
I better buy some sticky notes then.
Buy sticky notes. That's your essentials. Put them on the essentials list.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but
Office
like,
Depot.
Office Depot, Staples, whatever you use.
Dollar Store.
There you go.
I get a lot of things from the Dollar Store.
Dollar Store, yeah. Those are places good. But like, yeah, just do something like that. Like, take notes. Like, this also kind of helps train your active listening. Your like problem solving techniques. It also really helps out with just like error detection. You know, it's a really good.
It is a form of practice to listen to recordings and also to yourself.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's an art listening to yourself. I did a lot
of those really hard to swallow vitamins to listen to yourself. You hate it, but then like take yourself out of the equation. Like, okay, listen to the music.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember when I had also done like voice lessons for a moment. I'm like, for like a semester at my school, it was like, I hate the tone of my voice, but like, okay, let me stop thinking about that. Let me think about the music. Like, okay, the pitch is a little flat here. Like, I'm getting my timing right. Same thing with percussion. It's like the notes are there, but like the touch is not. Like, I'm hitting it too hard, but like, I need to not think of like, oh, your technique looks like crap or.
Ooh, here's something. Yeah. Imagine yourself as your own student.
Mm. Oh my gosh, that's good.
How would you?
I feel like I'm definitely. Yeah, I definitely feel like for me, I'm hard on myself. So I'm like.
Me too.
You can totally take an entire episode of just like mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, that makes sense.
Minecraft.
Mindset is very important.
Yeah, it's super important. Mental
Definitely.
practice.
Like, honestly, that might be a good next episode topic.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Or down the line.
Down the line.
All right. I think we should be slowly wrapping up. If
Well,
anyone has any last closing remarks or anything.
yeah, everybody who's starting school soon or has already started school, best of luck to you. Hope you make great progress this year. You're gonna do great. I'm proud of you. I believe in
Yes.
you. We over here, Tam,
Take
I believe
Love
that
you.
everybody has great potential this year. And make the best of your year, because we don't know how long we're going to be in classes in person.
Take a
Exactly.
moment to enjoy the music you're making. Enjoy one seeing people, definitely. And enjoy making music with people, whether that like be part of your practice or even if it's just like, your usual thing. Be like my main running gag is the shaker, and I just like we'll find some in the hall, pick up my water bottle, do the little shaker gesture, and they'll do it back at me, and like there it is. Like
Oh, that's
you'll love
cute.
to see it. You'll love to see it. Enjoy. Don't. You're not alone, and no one's ever alone. So
Another thing about that, don't take
take
yourself
that
too
as you will.
seriously. You
Yeah,
can't always be taking yourself too seriously.
and most importantly, don't steal people's towels,
Oh my gosh, don't be
guys.
stealthy.
That's how we end today's episode. Beep boop. The end. No, I'm just
Right.
kidding. But for real, next time, if you guys tune in, we're gonna be talking about some appealing to mainstream audiences, maybe bringing in a special guest speaker that is a surprise.
We won't say who it is
But
yet.
yeah, it's a surprise.
Yeah, we're
It's like a
good.
Kinder egg. Yeah,
You don't know what's gonna be inside of it.
but as always, if you have any questions, feel free to contact us through email or DM us. Yeah, we would love to hear from you guys. And hopefully, you enjoyed today's episode. Yay!
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening. We'll catch you next week. Same time,
Adios,
same
folks.
channel. Bye.
Woo!